When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is Fight Disciples.
Welcome to podcast episode number 854. We are the Fight Disciples, and this is your MMA preview for the week coming up. Bit of Thursday night action, bit of Saturday night action, and it's stacked from top to bottom. France and Miami are the destinations, the PFL and the UFC bringing some serious heat this week. I'm going to get stuck on into the show. It's quite refreshing, actually, to be doing a program that's not live. Yeah, you see, we could just sit back, kick back, make as many mistakes as we want to make. Not that
we'll still do it in one take anyway, so it makes no difference, really.
It doesn't, actually. I was actually thinking about this the other day. We never, very rarely is this edited, and it's only ever edited when there's a proper technical fuck up. So we've got to piece something together, whether someone's camera's got, yeah, it's normally you, camera's gone down or a microphone's gone down or something like that. Normally it is one take. We should just do this show live every week, man. It's honestly, from an administration point of view, it's far easier. It's just one button. Just put it up and let people have it. There you go.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm in the midst of Anthony Joshua and Francis Ngannou having a tangle in Saudi Arabia on Friday. It's quite easy to kind of get carried away with that because, obviously, there's a lot of focus on it from the boxing world. They're all in on a card that is relatively good. And I say relatively good because it is relatively good. It's not the tip-top as of yet. You've got Anthony Joshua, Francis Ngannou, you've got a good fight against Zhang and Parker. You've got, I think, maybe the best fight on the card in Ray Vargas and Nick Bowl. And then you've got some good domestic stuff. I say domestic, it's taking place in Saudi Arabia. You've got some good domestic stuff on there. So you can kind of get carried away with that a little bit because you don't normally see that in boxing. And you can take for granted everything that's coming your way in MMA this week. Because when I just stop and pump the brakes for a second and I have a look around and I go, fucking hell. UFC 299 is absolutely insane. It's insane. And I know that the debate is going to be there from fight fans saying 299 is better than 300. Yeah, maybe it is. Maybe I've come round to that conclusion. But when I get to 300, I'll probably say that 300's amazing as well. And it's the best card of the year because they just keep churning out back-to-back bangers. 299, though, which we are going to preview for you right now, is a joke. It's an absolute joke. When you've got Matthias Gamrot and Rafael Dos Anjos in the prelims, you know that you're in for a good night. Jesus Christ, mate. Jesus.
It's absolutely insane. And do you know what? It's going to cap off what's going to be one of the best weeks in terms of fight sports and all sports, really, because you've got PFL, which we'll get stuck into. Cedric Doumbé's just been absolutely mental this week. He's absolutely one of the biggest stars in all of Europe when it comes to MMA right now. I think the UFC are going to rue not signing him and not getting him out when they had the opportunity. I know it fell off last minute because of the French Federation, because of a bad brain scan and blah, blah, blah. Regardless, the guy's a superstar and he's going to steal the show on Thursday night with PFL. Then we roll into Friday night and the circus show from Saudi Arabia. Nice for us UK fans on UK time zone as well. Then we've got an all-nighter Saturday for $2.99, which, as you say, one of the best fight cards we've ever seen from the UFC. And then on Sunday, Liverpool win the title by snot and Man City. Hey, what a week. What a week. 4 days of magnificence, please.
Listen, if you like your Formula One, I'm not a big Formula One fan, but I know that there's a lot of our viewers that do like a bit of that. Mm-hmm. There's a Formula One race as well on Saturday.
When's Cheltenham? Is Cheltenham this week or next week?
Next week. Okay. Yeah, but it just rolls on in, man. It's just action-packed. Sport is coming at you thick and fast, but you're here for the fight stuff. And of course, if you've tuned into this show specifically, you're here for the MMA stuff, and UFC 299 is the destination this weekend. Miami, 14 fight card, and at least 10 of them I must not miss. At least 10 of them.
This card has got a little sprinkling of sugar on top, not just because sugar's in the main event, but some of the fights on here are absolutely outrageous. How long have we waited for Michael Venom Page to step up to the Champions League of this sport? How long have we waited for, well, this maybe not as long a period of time, but how many times has Benoit Saint-Denis took our breath away? But we've thought, he's good, but how good is he? We're going to find out on Saturday night just how good this guy actually is. Same thing with Jack Della Maddalena. This kid's super good. But really, how good is he? We're going to find out on Saturday night. Mate, the card is ridiculous.
Somebody's making a statement, aren't they? Somebody's coming away from this card at $2.99. Yeah, but listen, maybe more than one. I think we can guarantee at least one person is coming away from UFC 299 that you had doubts about, you had questions about, you thought to yourself, are they? And I think at least one of them is going to come away and we're going to go, whoa. Right, all right. The hype is real. Now, whether that is Benoit Saint-Denis, whether that is Michael Venom Page, whether that is Jack Della Maddalena, and you can go a little bit further down the card as well and look at some others as well.
Almeida.
One of them. Exactly. Exactly. Almeida could come through and absolutely run through Curtis Blaydes in quick fashion, and everybody goes, oh my God, maybe this one-trick pony jiu-jitsu whiz is a pretty big deal in the heavyweight division. Oh, man. Let's start with the main event. Bantamweight title is on the line. Sean O'Malley, Chito Vera. Sean is 17-1 in MMA, ladies and gentlemen. The one is indeed Chito Vera from 2020 in the middle of the pandemic, behind closed doors. He contests it. Listen, let's just put it to bed. I'll tell you where I stand right now. It's a legitimate win. Chito caused the damage. That's why your perineal nerve went flat. That's why your foot didn't work. That's why your leg didn't work. And that's why he was enabled to land them big, dirty elbows on you, my friend. It's a win.
Yeah.
Here we go. This is a legitimate rematch. Let's see. And that's why we're here. The only reason, really, why we're here is because of that narrative. If we actually look at the runners and riders of the bantamweight division, you would probably say that Corey Sandhagen maybe is worthy more than Chito Vera. Mirab most certainly is. And there's a couple of others that you could maybe make an argument for. Chito's here because he's got a narrative with Sean O'Malley. That's why he's here. This is his shot. Go and take it, son. This is probably the only shot that you're going to get. Have a go.
Yeah. And listen, it's a narrative worth its weight in gold, quite literally. Because you're right. Since he beat Sean O'Malley, Chito's been on a 5-2 run. There's been a couple of losses in there. There's guys that are undefeated. There's guys more deserving. As you say, Mirab is the standout guy. Mirab should be next. But Mirab doesn't have a story to sell. Chito's got a story to sell. And this is not like a situation where Tom Aspinall kicks Curtis Blaydes and his knee blows out and Curtis Blaydes like, what the fuck just happened there? I didn't even land a shot on him. This is, you're absolutely right, Chito Vera throwing a kick, hitting that nerve on the back of the knee, back of the calf. And from that point on, Sean O'Malley, who for me looked great for the first 2 minutes, two and a half minutes of round number one, that kick came in. Suddenly, he couldn't put any weight on his right leg anymore. He's dancing everywhere. He's falling all over the place. Was it the left? He's falling all over the place. He's dancing everywhere. And Chito, like a predator should, sees the injured prey and pounced on him. I feel for Sean, and I get where Sean's coming from. Maybe that was a freak accident. I've been kicked in that leg a million times during my career and training inside the octagon. That has never happened before. Sound, man. Those things happen. But what's the difference between being in a boxing ring, getting hit on the nose and your nose exploding for the first time, and then you're getting stopped because you're like, wow, I couldn't breathe. I was swallowing so much blood. You know, this is a freak accident. This has never happened before. Is that really a loss? Yeah, man. The guy hit you. You were rendered unable to continue to fight properly. So it is an absolute legit win. But the storyline for me comes back to, what have you done for me lately? Since that win, Chito's gone 5-2. And okay, the losses have been against good dudes. But nevertheless, Chito's, there's still chinks in that Chito armor. Since that loss, Sean O'Malley just went, right, ain't taking that as a loss. I'm going to continue where I left off. golden boy for Dana White. Big opportunities, bring it on. And since then, he's the one that's been stepped up. He's the one that's got the big opportunities against the former champions, the world title fight, and he's the one that hasn't looked back. 5-0 since that loss to Cheeto. Sean O'Malley is a different animal today than the one Cheeto beat back then.
That's the key thing, isn't it? He silenced the doubters. Even going into that Cheeto fight, there were doubts. It's like, right, this is your step up. Let's see what you're all about. And he falls short. So there was doubt still there, but he's got something going on between his ears, that fella, because he just ignored it, came back to the octagon. And yes, okay, the next two or three are of a level that you'd expect him to win. That performance against Chris Moutinho and those types of characters. But then what he gets in with Piotr Jan, wins that fight over the distance. And at the time, we'll talk about Piotr Jan because he's on this card, but he was red hot. Red hot at the time was Piotr Jan. Sean takes that scalp and then moves into the fight with Aljamain Sterling because now it's put up or shut up. All right, did you fluke it against Jan? Did you really win it against Jan? Because there were still lots of people that didn't think that he won that fight. Well, he definitely won against Aljo, who is the guy with the most amount of title defenses in the bantamweight division. Yeah, and he went in and smoked him in two rounds. So there's all those doubts have now been silenced. With that comes an extra added amount of confidence. And all the things that he genuinely believed about himself are now in reality. They're out there. Everybody, oh, shit, this hype is real.
Talk the talk. Now he walks the walk.
That breeds a whole new amount of confidence, doesn't it, coming into this fight? And this fight ain't behind closed doors. And who's the biggest showman currently on this roster? Bar McGregor. This fella loves it. Comes out to the Lupe Fiasco tune. Dyes his hair, God knows what colour. He's got a pair of pink shorts on this weekend, mate. He's got some new kits.
Good. Good.
He's going to be fired up, man. He's going to be fired up to want to get this one back. And this is what real champions do. They remove all doubt. They go back to the scene of the crime and say, right, come on, we're going again. You don't deserve it, but we're going again because I need this. This is what proper champions do.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely agree. Plus, it makes... If I'm Sean O'Malley, as good as Cheeto is, if I'm Sean O'Malley, I'm like, yeah, man, get me a defense with Cheeto before I inevitably have to face Mirab. Because Mirab's a long night for anybody. Mirab's a horrific night's work for anybody, even a confident champion like Sean O'Malley. So, yeah, get me Cheeto first. Get me that defense. But you're right. I'm so in awe of Sean O'Malley because it's one thing to come in and talk the talk. It's something else completely to walk the walk. And don't forget, even up until the Jan victory in that, you know, basically eliminator to face the champion. Coming out of that, still people going, did he win? No, come on. It was a close fight. He's getting all the favours. The judges are looking after him. Blah, 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 blah. He won. You go, wait a minute. This guy's had, you know, 8 fights in the UFC. All wins. All bonuses. He's got 8 finishes in those 9 wins as well. Sorry, 9 wins, 8 finishes, 8 bonuses. Like, he's consistently doing it, Sean O'Malley. And when you look at where he's fighting as well, okay, he may not have beaten 8 or 9 guys out of the top 10, but nobody starts like that. It's how you finish, and he's finished by knocking out the champion. But every one of his fights, very similar to Ian Garry, and in some ways, Paddy the Baddy. Yes, these guys are getting opportunities on pay-per-view cards consistently from day one. Why? Because the UFC can see, with a little bit of polish, if this kid's going to get the opportunity and if he's good enough, he will become a pay-per-view star. And that's exactly what's happened with Sean O'Malley. He's got big opportunities early on. People don't like that. People don't like it when you get consistently on pay-per-view cards, when you get put on main cards and there's veterans on you. Well, guess what, man? This is a business. And this guy attracts eyeballs. You know, I've talked about it before. Look at Sean O'Malley. And then go in your phone and look at the rappers that I caveat that with. Shit rappers, that's how old I am now, middle-aged old man. Look at these shit American rappers now who populate the Billboard charts. They all look like Sean O'Malley. I'm not talking about skin colour, I'm talking about tattoos on the face, multicoloured hair, grillies in, all that kind of stuff. All little, they all look about 8 stone wet. That is popular culture right now in America of that generation, that young 20-something generation. He's capturing that attention. Just like Paddy the Baddy, walk around Liverpool. Every kid's got a Ket wig. Every kid looks like Paddy the Baddy, stripped out in the Monterex, wearing the 110s. That generation, he's harnessed it, and that's what Sean O'Malley's got. And now the UFC have gone, yeah, man, I get it. You are popular culture right now. Let's see if you can fight. Bump. The kid can fight. The kid is the champion of the world on merit. And I truly believe that Chito Vera's going in there against a much improved version of Sean O'Malley, even from back then. And don't forget, Sean, for me, was 2.5 minutes, looked great for 2.5 minutes until the injury come. So I think Chito Vera's got it all to do, me, all to do.
Mirab's weighing in, you know.
Of course he is. Mirab's probably weighing in for everyone. And here, brother, I will fight anybody, brother.
He declared himself the official backup, and the UFC have now backed it up. And so he's weighing in on Friday morning, just in case something doesn't materialize for this main event. I think it will, because both of these guys are incredibly professional. Listen, I know that Chito's got the win, so he's got the confidence there from that.
Correct.
And I know that, you know, I just think with Chito, he just might have peaked. It might have already gone because there were a little hot spell in the middle of all this. Yes, he ran into Jose Aldo. Yes, he ran into Corey Sandhagen. But the win against Frankie, for example, the win against even Dom Cruz, you could put David Grant in there, Rob Font. Those four wins in this little bubble here, it just felt that he were hot. And I don't know if he can keep that up to the level that he's going to need to keep it up for Sean O'Malley at the weekend, mate. I don't think the story ends here with Sean O'Malley. I think this is going to be a spectacular moment for him once again, retribution moment. I think he walks off from UFC 299, still the champion with another bonus under his belt. I really do. And I love Chito. I think he's a top geezer, great professional, earns his stripes. No qualms whatsoever with him getting the opportunity at the weekend, but I just think there's levels to this game. And Sean O'Malley, since 2020, when these guys met, has gone here. It's just a new thing now. And I think he'll show that on Saturday.
Yeah. If you're Chito, it's imperative to start quick. It's imperative not to give Sean the opening rounds because he is a slow starter, as you say. He's got to get warmed up. He's got to start 100 miles an hour because he's fit enough. Chito Bisping tells us all the time about him doing 3 sessions a day. He's a workhorse. He's a gym rat. Like nothing could touch him. Fight psychologically, he's absolutely dialed in, and this is his destiny. Well, if you've got that in your locker, you can't afford to start slow. You can't afford to let Sean to get into his rhythm. You can't afford to let Sean dictate the range because that's where he's so good. If you're Chito, you got to get in his face, get your head on his chest. And throw that same kick as well. Just let Sean know. I wouldn't be surprised. First minute of Chito, a couple of feints, throw that leg kick as hard as you can. Exactly the same spot. That's the target. I'm not saying the injury will happen again. I'm not saying. But just to take O'Malley back to that place. Boom. Mm. Last time I did that, kid, you fell apart. Boom, there's another. Boom, boom, there's another one. Yeah.
Tell you what. Your fast twitch muscle fibre there, mate, was red hot for a 40-odd year. Hey, fella. You still got it, mate.
Mate, for three minutes, cage old bedroom, I'm fucking dead.
3 minutes that long in the bedroom, mate. You are unreal, son. You're on TRT, aren't you? You're
Boom,
definitely doing
T booster.
Get the old T booster on. Out of all the fights that are happening this week, and there's some belters, we'll get to Paris in a minute. We'll get to, obviously, with our live shows this week, we're talking about everything that's going on in Saudi Arabia. But of all the fights that are happening this weekend, the one that I am fascinated with the most is Dustin Poirier, Benoit Saint-Denis. It actually keeps me awake because I know what's coming.
Yeah.
And these two guys can't fight any other way, or we haven't seen them fight any other way. Yeah, I would be gobsmacked if they come up and they're cagey and they're circling. And it's a bit tippy-tappy. I'll be gobsmacked.
Yeah.
It has got... I'll be gobsmacked if there's not a bonus attached to the fight in some way, shape or form, whether it be individually or collectively. And if it goes 15 minutes, it will be fight of the year. That's how confident I am in that fight. It is... Mate, honestly, it should come with a fucking health warning in this fight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, listen, Benoit Saint-Denis is a special fighter, you know, and his background speaks for itself. Former French... Marine, decorated serviceman. His missus is like a fucking shot, you know, what's it called? A sniper coach for the French military herself. Like, and she was an athlete as well. Like, their kid, Saint-Denis Jr. male or female, is going to be a fucking UFC champion, that's for sure. But this guy's coming a little bit under the radar because French MMA was under the radar up until 2 years ago. And then you see him fight live and you just see the passion, you just see the energy, and you see the skill set. His submission game, his grappling is just relentless. His stand-up is unbelievable. He's super sharp. He's got wonderful kicks, and he's got an incredible chin. And 15 minutes just isn't enough. Whenever you see him fight, well, quite literally isn't enough, because he's only ever been out of the second round twice in his entire career, and they were both fights up at welterweight, not even his natural weight division. He looks incredible. What he lacks is cage time. What he lacks is experience. What he lacks is rounds against guys that know this sport inside and out. And Dustin Poirier is one of the most experienced guys in the UFC. We're talking about a guy, a former interim champion, a guy that was in two of the top five UFC biggest pay-per-views of all time. Of course, listen, he had the dance partner to do it, but still, he's been in that level of the sport. He's been at the very, very top, and won them both, very top consistently, earned crazy money, and is still here, still grinding, still got the desire to keep going and keep fighting. This really is almost, it feels like it. Will it be a change in the guard, or will Dustin remain as one of the biggest draws in the sport? Or is his time done? Is the next generation about to take over him? That's why I'm fascinated by it. Amazing.
Something has to give in the fight, because BSD coming into it, I think he's got five straight finishes, hasn't he, coming into it. And Dustin Poirier in his whole MMA career has never lost back-to-back MMA fights. It's never happened. And obviously he's coming off the back of the loss to the knockout against Justin Gaethje. Something has to give within the fight. Mate, it's just... So, it's so hard to pick anybody that can absolutely sit here now and say this guy's going to win this fight. I don't know how you can. I don't know how you can do it, because I could sit here and make an argument for Dustin Poirier.
Yeah,
and then I could, midway making that floor, be thinking to myself, well, hang on a minute, no, because Benoit Saint-Denis is this and this, and it could be him. It's a phenomenal piece of matchmaking. I'm gobsmacked that it's actually happening, because I look at it from a Dustin Poirier point of view, and I think, what's in it for you? it's very high risk, and what seems to be very low reward, because the casual fan will look at this and they'll go, well, if Poirier wins, I know who Poirier is. I didn't know who that other fellow was. You know what I mean? And maybe he's not all that. But we know that dude is the real deal. And this, oh, mate, I can't pick it. I genuinely can't pick it. I genuinely think it'll be fight of the night.
Yeah, I just think heading into, like, I'm like you, you know, flip a coin. I can see every single outcome here, and I can see Dustin Poirier just being on a different level. I can see levels being involved in Dustin Poirier with his fantastic boxing, and he has got fantastic boxing, Dustin, and his incredible low leg kicking game that is ingrained in him from the gym that he's from, and his solid, super experienced ground game, just being on a different level to Benoit Saint-Denis, and this being the point where Benoit goes in there against the top three guy and goes, right, okay, I've got work to do. Thank you for the opportunity, Mr. Poirier. Thank you for the opportunity, Mr. UFC. Boom. I'll be back in 3 months' time. Benoit 2.0, get ready for that. I can see that. But I can also see Benoit Saint-Denis turning up and catching Dustin Poirier at the right time, being the guy, because everyone gets old overnight. Everyone, you're the last to know, aren't you? You're the last to know when it's gone. You're the last to know when you're a split second off, when your chin's just dropped off that tiny bit, when you're maybe that little bit too comfortable. You know, where you were the guy that would be first into training and last out of training. Maybe now, well, you can't make training on a Tuesday early anymore because you've got your charity work over here and you're a multimillionaire now. So you've got investments over here and this is going on. So I'll tell you what, I'll instead of doing my Tuesday session, it happens to everybody. That's completely and utterly perfectly natural. Is Dustin still the same mentality he's got before? And even if he's got the same mentality, can he physically hold up to it? Yes, he's only 35, which is young. But in MMA terms, below welterweight, as you often point out, 35 is the golden number, man. And when you've had 37 fights professionally, some of the biggest fights we've seen in the sport, things can start to slow down and you're the last to know. And if he is slowing down, if he is coming down the mountain, then Benoit Saint-Denis is the last fucker you want to hit, you want to meet on his way up the mountain, because he's a savage. And my big thing for me was that head kick from Justin Gaethje last time out, as amazing as it was. And, you know, just remember, Dustin's lost four times since the McGregor fight a billion years ago. Three of them were title fights against other, either the champion or top guys in this division. So he's only lost to the elite of the elite. But the BMF lost to Gaethje. He kind of sees that. He kind of sees that kick. Oh, he didn't see it early. You know, people, I know on comms, because it was Salt Lake City, it was head kick. They were like, oh my God, it's exactly like Leon Edwards against Kamaru. It wasn't. No. Leon Edwards hit Kamaru with his shin, and Kamaru, when he woke up, went, what the fuck was that? Didn't see that coming at all. Poirier does see it coming. He lifts his hand, but the power in Gaethje's kick means it connects around the back of the head, and it still knocks him out, even though he does kind of catch it, even though he's got that infinite mini microsecond to brace. It still knocks him out. That for me is concerning, because that for me starts to think, is his chin what it once was? The bookies have got Saint-Denis. Can you believe that? The bookies have got Saint-Denis as a strong favourite.
Strong favourite. I can believe that he's the favourite going into this fight, yeah. Listen, I'll tell you what we'll do. Once we've previewed the whole main card, we'll pick. We'll make five picks, right? Kevin Holland, Michael Venom Page. It's the debut that we've all been waiting for. God knows how long. Well, we've been doing this 8 years, and we've been speaking about Michael Venom Page through his tenure in Bellator. We were talking about where he's going to end up. Is it going to be PFL? Is it going to be UFC? Is it going to be somewhere else? Is he going to come into boxing, which he once upon a time did, if you remember? Yeah. I'm delighted that he's doing this, because I think he needs this. I think he needs to know for himself, and I think it'll be good for the fans to see him do this as well at this particular level, because there's always been that doubt, hasn't there? Well, yeah, he's great and it looks amazing, but we know that it's Europa League level. Come on. We know that it's Europa League level. Well, this is Champions League level, and he's going straight in there with the guy that should have a BMF title strapped around his waist in Kevin Holland, a guy that is must-see TV, whether it be from his press conferences through to his fights. I don't think you could wish for a better piece of matchmaking, because we're going to find out. After on Sunday morning, we will know.
Yeah.
And Michael Venom Page gets the opportunity to go and show what he's been telling us for a long period of time against Kevin Holland. It's a great fight. Really good stylistic matchup. Kung Fu versus kickboxing. What's not to like about that?
Mm-hmm. I think for Michael, it just the timing's absolutely right. You know, look at, he got to the top in Bellator. He's one of the biggest stars in Bellator. He's got an incredible highlight reel from his entire career. And he runs into, who was the guy? Was it Logan Storey? Logan Storey?
Yeah, wrestle-fucked him, didn't he?
You just wrestle-fucked him and laid on top of him. And you're like, well, you know, I watched that fight. I thought MVP actually won the fight, because Logan Storey didn't create any damage whatsoever. He just literally held him on the floor. I think the frustration was there to go, well, you know, if that guy's here, what's the point of me being here? Because I haven't got the anti-wrestling game to stand them up enough. And okay, you could argue, well, that's MMA. That's the way it is. But look back a couple of years, who was dominating the welterweight division in the UFC for a long period? Kamaru Usman, who also had that ace in his hole, who also had the ability to pick up and wrestle anybody. I'm not saying Kamaru would have wrestle-fucked anybody, but I'm saying that grappling side of the game where Michael lacks, it was a bad matchup against Kamaru Usman, but the world has changed. We now have a new welterweight champion in the UFC, and there's a real incredible narrative there, because you've got Leon Edwards, who's predominantly a kickboxer himself. I know Leon is the full package, don't get me wrong, but let's be honest, if Leon gets his way, Leon wants a strike. He's established now in the UFC as the welterweight champion at the top of the tree. The guys biting at his heels, the likes of Shavkat and people like that, are also fellow strikers. Ian Garry, all these strikers really at the top of the welterweight division fighting with this narrative. Suddenly the attractions come over the UFC when you've had that negative experience at the top of the tree in Bellator. Right, okay, Bellator contracts up, the PFL buyouts, everything else. Okay, let's have a chat with the UFC. Let's see where their minds are. My mind is, get me in, get me a Kevin Holland type, get me a Stephen Wonderboy type, and then we sell a narrative, because what we're lacking in the UK is, what we need is an arena show. We want a stadium show. We've got Tom Aspinall, we've got Leon Edwards, we've got Paddy, who's a ticket seller, we've got all these incredible British fights at the moment, better than we've ever had in the history of UK MMA. What we need is that golden main event. Are we going to get a John Jones over Tom? Absolutely not. Could we make, this time next summer, Michael Venom Page versus Leon Edwards headline in a stadium for the UFC welterweight title? You goddamn right we could. You goddamn right we could. MVP needs a couple of wins. Don't get me wrong. I'm getting ahead of myself. Yeah. But there's a direct lineage there to go. Brit on Brit, Birmingham versus London, UFC title. Come on, man. It sells itself. And Michael sees that. I think Michael's handlers see that. And that's why the timing was absolutely perfect. And as you say, this is the gift. This is the perfect opponent. Kevin Holland's not a walkover. I still think it's a 50-50. I really do.
Yeah, it is.
Because
it is.
We don't know. So it's difficult when you've been superb in the Europa League, you come over to the Champions League and you fall short, you can't get out the group stage. Let's see how good Michael is, because Kevin Holland's no joke.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, what a fight, man. Listen, he's such a lovely fella. We've spent a lot of time with Michael over the years, and he's such a nice guy outside of the cage and the octagon and the mats and what have you. And you just wish him well. You wish him so. But Kevin Holland's a top dude as well, and you know that this is a fight. It's a proper fight, because from a Kevin Holland point of view, he sat there going, this is ace. The new kid on the block. The fucking pomp and ceremony of this English lad. Send him to Miami, because this is perfect for me to get myself back on this track as well.
Correct.
It just works. It works for both lads. And I can't wait to see it. And I hope that Michael lives up to it.
As well. Unorthodox fighters, unorthodox with their approach. Literally anything could happen. Mate. This is where I'm gambling on my bonus. This is where there will be a bonus. It won't be fight of the night, but there'll be a bonus in here, because I think someone's getting iced.
I reckon I can see in this fight, right, nothing happening for about a minute, 2 minutes, nothing, and then one shot bang on. that's it, just one special move from somewhere and it's over. What the fuck was
X square R1 R1?
Yeah, exactly, that's it. Gilbert Burns is taking on Jack Della Maddalena. You highlighted it before. We've obviously got doubts over certain people coming into fights. I say doubts, questions, I think is the correct terminology, whether they've been at a level before. And Jack Della Maddalena is absolutely one of those guys. I don't think anybody's got any doubts over Gilbert Burns. He has proven himself in the UFC, even though he is 2-3 in his last five. Yes, I know those losses come against Bilal Chimaev and Kamaru Usman, but he'll be wanting to get his train back on the track. And JDM, with all due respect to him, I personally don't think he's looked as JDM in his last two. Yeah. I think, you know, he hasn't been wow like he was in his last two fights in particular. And this is a big step up, mate. I don't care what anybody says. Gilbert Burns, even though he's coming off a loss, he's still a big step up. But it's Gilbert Burns who lives in Florida, mate. He hasn't had to get on a plane for this. He's chilling, man. He's loving it. Still living, sleeping in his own bed, training in his own gym, ready to go and rock and roll. So he's feeling comfortable as they come going into this fight with JDM.
Yeah, listen, at the end of the day, Jack Della Maddalena is still undefeated in the UFC. He's had six fights. He's won all six. When you look at it as a body of work, you go, wow, four first round knockouts and four bonuses in six wins. Incredible, man. This is the guest kid's the future. But you're right, his last two fights were both split decisions against Basil, who was a late stand-in, who we became a little bit of a fan.
You can forgive that. You can forgive that, because he was training for somebody else a little bit there, you know what I mean?
Of course.
Just like, not as
but Basil came into the UFC to make his debut against an established guy.
Yeah, fair enough.
And Basil gave it a good go. It was a split decision for a reason. It was a legit split decision. And the last time out, of course, was a step up in opponents against Kevin Holland, but he managed to come through it. I think that one's more credible than the Basel one. If he, you know, if he's got five knockouts and then a split decision, Kevin Holland, I'm still on the gravy train going, yeah, Jack's all good, man. But it's the back-to-back split decisions where you start going, okay, there's a little bit of a crack here. There's a little bit of an opportunity here for someone like a Gilbert Burns, who's got a wealth of experience, who is incredibly talented, who hits like a truck, but has also got one of the best ground game jiu-jitsu games in the UFC. There's absolutely opportunities here where you can go there, and there. Plus, it's back to 15 minutes, you know, and over 15 minutes, Gilbert, even at the age of 37, is an absolute legit top five fighter in the world. So I think it's a massive step up for Jack. But it's a step he's got to take. You know, what is he ranked, 11 or 12? Gilbert Burns is ranked number 4. This is why he's in the game. He wants to get in the top 5. This is the shot that he's got to take. Is it too soon? Will it be too much? We're going to find out, man. We're going to absolutely find out.
We're also going to find out where Petey Yan's at. 2 years ago, man, I were here going, he's the dude. Maybe a touch. I remember making the prediction of him becoming the guy.
Yeah.
Where before he was the guy. And obviously he's gone up there and he's realised it. And then since the Aljamain Sterling disqualification fight, it's just all gone Pete Tong. Like, I don't know whether it's because it can't be a physical thing. It can't have just aged like that. It's got to be something going on between his ears, therefore. And I know that it's against top guys that he's lost his last three against. I know that. But it's just not clicking for Petey Yan. He's been out for a year. And now we find ourselves in a matchup against an up-and-comer. I say up-and-comer. He's been here for ages as Song Yadong, but it feels like he's an up-and-comer because it's just clicked for him recently. Last couple of fights, you're watching Song Yadong and you're going, yeah, mate, here he is. Now we're playing.
Main events too.
Yeah. I find this fight, out of the five, I find this really hard to predict because I've no idea where Petey Yan's at. We haven't seen him for a year and he's lost his last three. What's going on between his ears? I think I know what Song Yadong's turning up. Yeah. But is he at the Petey Yan level that I think Petey Yan was at? And is Petey Yan still at that level? It's a mad little fight, that. Really mad little fight. But he also, if Yadong wins on paper, you can go, I've just beaten the former champion, man. I'm in the game. Yeah.
Of course, 100%. And he's right in that conversation. My thing with Peter, I'll just call him Peter because, you know, he'll always be the Glaswegian scaffolder to me. My issue with Peter isn't necessarily, I think I know where his head's at. I think the year off makes sense. Go away. Just get back to your training. Get back to being in love with the sport again. Get back to being the best version of Petey Yan. Because when you look at those losses, the Aljo loss, he's winning the fight. He's winning it convincingly. Yeah. Knees a grounded opponent. Aljo can't continue. Gets disqualified. We've seen similar things happen in other fights and fighters not be disqualified, be called a no contest. But he lost his title because of a DQ, knee to a grounded opponent, and that's how he lost the belt. So his comeback fight, Aljo still not available, takes on Cody Sandhagen, beats Cody Sandhagen. Fantastic. Yeah, man, it's still Petey Yan. He's the champ without the belt. We get it. Everyone's still not convinced about Aljo. Get him back in with Aljo. Let's see what happens. I think going into that fight was a lot of emotion. I think he got too emotionally invested with Aljamain Sterling and the DQ and everything else. And I think he took his eye off the ball. Obviously, he gets the rematch. He loses to Aljo. And you go, right, okay, sound. Get me out again. Sound. Just get me anyone. And they put him in with Sugar Sean O'Malley. I think the mentality is, I'm going to run through Sean O'Malley. He's a joke. He's the UFC's gifted boy. Mm. He's got Dana White privilege. Just get, I'll smash him to bits. And Sean O'Malley shocks him. Sean O'Malley gets a close points decision. And Yan's like, Jesus Christ, what the hell? Right, get me anybody else. I'm still Petey Yan. Get me anybody else. And they throw Mirab at him. Mirab's like the bad penny for anyone because Mirab's a monster. And he loses to Mirab. So for Petey Yan, it might just be a succession of mentally being invested too much, taking his eye off the ball. I don't think he's done. What I'm seeing is I'm not seeing a fighter that looks like he's done, that looks like he's fragile, that looks like he's finished. I'm seeing a fighter that's just got no luck at the moment. He's having no fortune. But there's a big difference between losing to those three guys, the former champion, and the incumbent champion, let's be honest,
yeah.
and losing to Song Yadong, with all due respect to Song Yadong, who's contesting to try and get in the top five for the first time.
Yeah, I think that's a good way of looking at it. I think you're right there, mate. So what you're saying, he's back?
I still fancy Yadong.
Mega. Shall we make picks before we get into prelims?
Yeah, can do. Go on then. Are you going for it? Let's go reverse order. Are you going? Just say names. You go name, I'll go name. You go name. Don't caveat it. Don't go, oh, I'm really upset.
No. I'm not even going to tell you a method or a round. I'm just going to give you a name, yeah?
Yes.
Right. Pierre Yan. Gilbert Burns. Michael Venom Page.
Oh, Michael Venom Page.
Dustin Poirier.
Oh, just to make this interesting, Benoit Saint-Denis.
Sean O'Malley.
Yeah, I think we're on the same page, to be honest with
that
you.
That second, mate, the co-main. The co-main
event is the one.
So hard, mate.
It's hard because you want to know more. I want to know more. Where's Dustin at? Like, that should be easy to call. But my mind is saying, oh, is Dustin on his way down? Is Benoit on his way up? The bookies are saying Benoit Saint-Denis all day. They're seeing something. And I'm like, yeah, I see what you see, but that's against these guys, not these guys. What the fuck? You know what I mean? It seems horrific to back the number 12 guy in the world who's only had a handful of fights against Dustin, the motherfucker Poirier, the diamond. How dare we back against him? And that's the type of moment where you go,
I didn't.
Dustin just
you did.
Absolutely dances around him. I know I did. If Dustin picks him off and plays with him and finishes him in third rounds, I won't be surprised, but I'll be a bit like, you dickhead, you said Benoit Saint-Denis. It's one of them fights. For me, it's the best matchup on the card, on a five-fight card that is absolutely filled with brilliant matchups.
Yeah. Winner of Almeida and Blade getting Tom Aspinall, do you think?
I think so. I think that seems to be the obvious choice. You know, it's quite clear now John Jones and Stipe are going to wait for each other for that one last dance. As frustrating, as disappointing as that is. But it is what it is. And I think these guys are definitely the pick of the rest. Almeida is the surgeon guy. He's the guy with the amazing ground game, which will certainly tick another box for Tom. So that absolutely makes sense. And also, Curtis Blades has got the narrative. I've got a W against Tom Aspinall. What the fuck he's talking about? So for me, whoever wins this faces Tom Aspinall. And if it's turned around quick, if one of them gets a quick finish, first round, unscathed, I think we could see it pretty soon as well.
It's going to be interesting to see how that plays out, because I think Blades has got some of the best wrestling in the heavyweight division. Can Almeida take him down? Because Almeida's grappling is sensational once he gets you down.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see how that plays out on the feet. Because I can see it playing out on the feet for a period of time anyway. And if you remember, Blades did fall in love with his hands a touch, didn't he? And he started putting some people over. So it's going to be interesting. I want to see Almeida cracked on the chin. I'm sick of him running through people. I want to see a little bit of jeopardy in there.
Well, I want to see Curtis, show us that wrestling by stopping takedowns, by staying on his feet. Counter wrestling, just staying on your feet and letting your hands go, because Curtis is a banger. He's got 12 knockouts and 17 wins, so he can punch for the big guy. But you're right. I want to see what Almeida's all about with his hands as much as anything else. If this ends quick, obviously it'll probably be either a Blades knockout, Almeida diving into something, running into something by mistake, or it'll be Almeida probably getting Blades down, and we'll see that submission game again, and maybe getting a submission early. If we get an early finish here, let's say Almeida wins, could you see Almeida asking for Tom Aspinall UFC 301 in Rio?
Oh! You see, I always had in my head England, but 301.
Rio de Janeiro, baby.
Yeah, if it's quick and there's no damage there, why would he not? They need it, don't they? Because there's so much.
Well, we haven't got an opponent. We're talking about Pantoja being the main event. He hasn't got an opponent.
Yeah, well, originally it was Pereira, wasn't it? Pereira was 301. Then, obviously, the situation with 300 played out, so we moved him forward. So Pereira's been moved to 300. So there's your one Brazilian gone. Pantoja's on the card, we're told, but who's he fighting? So we're waiting for that confirmation. Heavyweight's work, man. Heavyweight's work. Oh, a little trip to Brazil. Deal me in. I'm up for a bit of that. If I made, if I made us rapid, yeah, I can see him going, Tom Aspinall, let's dance. And then the winner of that gets the winner of Stipe Jones.
The winner of that then is lined up for internet, you know, for Jones Stipe, which is hopefully online for 303 International Fight Week, or you know, not long after. That would add Tom to Jack Shaw and Paulie Craig, who are both already got opponents for 301. Jack Shaw's taking on Joe Anderson Brito, and Paulie Craig's got Chao Barallo, obviously.
Chao, yeah.
So we've got a little bit of a British... It could be the Fight Disciples debut in Rio de Janeiro. Oh, yes! Oh, big Tommy, lad! Now I want I'll made this a win, so I can, just so I can go to Rio. Not for any other reason. Just so I can
at the Copa, Copacabana. Get the lads on that. Matthias Gamrot, Rafael Dos Anjos. Prelims. Prelims, mate. I was reading a stat yesterday. This is the first time in, I think it's 18 fights that Rafael Dos Anjos has not been either the main or co-main event.
Wow. Just shows you the level he's been at, man, RDA, consistently throughout his career. Absolutely incredible. Incredible. Matt, obviously, he's been around forever, the former champion, incredible fighter, absolutely incredible, but no one can do it forever. You know, he's 39 years of age now, and that's a tough age for anybody, never mind for a professional athlete that spends his days rolling rounds and hitting mitts. It's a big ask for him to continue to compete at this level for so long. And Matthias Gamrot's a nightmare for anybody, because Matthias is part of this next generation of lightweights. You know, last year we talked extensively about lightweight division having so many pay-per-view style names, the Connors, the Chandlers, the Poiriers, the Gaethjes, the RDAs, the former champions, you know, who have fought each other and put big numbers on the pay-per-view. But we always talked about all these guys below them, the Rafa Fazeevs, the Matthias Gamrots, the Benoit Saint-Denis. When are they going to get their chance? And right now, this year, in front of our eyes, we're seeing those guys get the opportunity. We're seeing this lightweight division absolutely in transition. I think it's a great fight for Gamrot, but RDA ain't going to give anything up. He ain't going to give anything up.
You just made me think of something. You mentioned a name there, and it sent me off to this crazy little space, and it made me think of Dustin Poirier and Benoit Saint-Denis again, the co-main event, and how I think it's going to play out. Imagine if it's like Gaethje and Fazeev. That's what it feels like. The narrative going into it feels like that. Imagine if it's that.
Just Saint-Denis kicking lumps out of him in the first round, and you're going, man, it's caught up with Dustin, it's caught up with him. Yeah. And then early in the second, Dustin just goes, bap, bap, and Saint-Denis gets wobbled, and you go,
Then the clash just rises.
It becomes the Dustin show. That's what happened with Gaethje.
Yeah.
But as Gaethje proved, though, that was Gaethje's Saint-Denis moment, and he replied to it. Then he went straight into the Poirier fight and went, give me that fucking BMF belt. Whoop! Take that head kick to the cranium, son. Yeah, man, you're right.
Oh. I keep thinking about that fight. I can't get it out of my head. There's so much going on this week, but that's the fight that I keep going. I need to see it. JoJo's last ride. She's the curtain jerker at UFC 299. What a wonderful career for Joanne Wood, formerly, obviously, Calderwood. And okay, she didn't get to the top of the tree in the UFC, but she's absolutely been a staple for as long as we've been doing this. She's been there constantly. I think it's a shame that she doesn't do this on British soil, because I think that she'd get a hell of a reception. And who knows, man? She might have a wonderful fight and think, do you know something? Fuck it, I'll do it. I'll have one more. I'll have one more in summer just to say goodbye to everybody at home. But I suppose home is over there now for her. She's American.
Well, she lives in Las Vegas, of course, with her husband. So, listen, JoJo's... You have to put some respect on her name and in the fact that she could have sat on the bench and got a world title fight. She could have.
It's Shevchenko, wasn't it?
She could have fought Shevchenko. She was the number one contender. Shevchenko had beaten everybody around her, and JoJo had emerged, and JoJo, wherever she was ranked, 2 or 3 or whatever it was at the time, she was the clear next challenger. But Shevchenko was unavailable. Maybe she'd just come out of a fight, just had a win, whatever it was. And JoJo, like so many other fighters, could easily have just gone, Sam, man, when she's back, I'm ready. But she didn't. She went, no, I'll take on Jennifer Meyer. I'll take on a Brazilian jiu-jitsu expert, which is my hole. But I like the mentality of, well, if I can't beat her, I ain't going to beat the champ. So you may as well bring it on. I want to keep busy. I want to keep fighting. And that deserves so much respect. And, you know, only JoJo can answer whether she regrets it or not, because obviously she got submitted by Jennifer Meyer and her opportunity went. That door was closed. Unlike Bisping, she was never able to gain the momentum to get back in that position again. As we know, Bisping was that close to a title shot about fucking 4 times. And he kept falling at the final hurdle. And it came out of the blue.
Yeah.
JoJo's at that point in her life now in her career. She's 38 years of age. It ain't going to come out the blue. She ain't there. She ain't within touching distance. She ain't the first person, the second person,
There's a lot of young killers in that division now, isn't there?
That's what I mean. You know, she's had her time. She's so far back down the mountain. She's practically at base camp. It's just amazing that she, because of her career, she's 8-8 in the UFC. That's it. 16 fights in the UFC alone. That deserves so much respect, Miguel. I came into this sport as one of the best Thai fighters on the planet, don't get me wrong, but with no grappling game whatsoever. She's had to, like so many girls especially, and heavyweights for the men, she's had to learn on the job. So there was always going to be losses. But to have 16, this will be a 17th fight in the UFC. There ain't many. That's an elite club that have had that many fights that have had, or, you know, deep double figures fights in the UFC. So she deserves a lot of credit for that. It's a nice opponent for her as well, Mariana Moroz. Moroz beat JoJo back in the day. I think it was one of JoJo's first fights, Moroz's first ever fight in the UFC. Fight took place in Poland, home turf for Moroz. She armbarred it, I think it was, in the first or second round. Great chance for JoJo to get that one back as well, man. You know, so yeah. Moroz is Ukrainian, not Polish, but it was in Poland, I think. Yeah, there you go.
Listen, fight fans, don't take shit like this for granted. It's easy to do so when you just follow the UFC.
Yeah.
You see people moaning all the time about certain cards and certain fights. Stop it. This is the greatest show on earth, and this is proof of it. UFC 299 is a joke. It's an absolute joke, and I can't wait for it. I genuinely can't wait for it. We've got a great week lined up, but that, to finish off this fight week, is truly sensational. It starts...
It surprises me when, you know, I see a lot of outlets that cover MMA absolutely dogging on, like, last week's show at the Apex. Oh, that was absolutely awful. And yeah, the co-main and the main event didn't really catch fire, didn't ignite. There was a shitload of amazing knockouts on the undercard, I will contest. But yeah, the co-main and the main event didn't catch fire. And part of the reason is probably because it's at the Apex, not in front of fans, and these guys have a different motivation and everything else. But that's absolutely garbage. Is this what the UFC is these days? And I'm like, wait a minute. Whoa. You can't drop a $2.99 every fucking week. But
they do every month.
You have this because next week you've got that. Do you know what I mean? So you've got to populate the fixture list. Not every event can be absolutely out of this world. But there's guys who fought last week on that fight night who had sensational knockouts and whatever else that in 6 months' time will be on a big pay-per-view event, and they will get their opportunity on the big show. That's how it works. You can't just have a Champions League final every week. No sport can operate in that way. So just need to remind these people, look what we've got this weekend.
Yeah,
get excited.
But it's like you forgot that you went 298, UFC Mexico, Apex, 299.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Come on.
Yeah.
Stop this nonsense. This is the greatest show on earth. There's no doubt about it. If you're going to, every now and again, you're going to get one that doesn't pop. But you've got 5 out of the 6 that have. So come on.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I'm taking them odds all day long. And this weekend is going to be absolutely insane. Incredibly jealous of anybody that is in Miami sampling this face-to-face, because it's just good. Like I said, there's 10 fights there that you go, oh my God, that you just can't miss them. They're absolutely tremendous. Mm-hmm. I'm also jealous of anybody that is making the trip to Paris on Thursday night. We've been lucky enough to watch MMA in Paris. And they are rabid dogs. They absolutely love it. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it was banned for a long period of time in Paris, in France in general. MMA, this is. And during, I think it was just at the start of the pandemic, Bellator did a show there, didn't they? And you could see, wow, people, this is a little bit mad. And then obviously the UFC get their opportunity. We got to go to that first ever show in Paris, and it was all my days. Phenomenal, phenomenal atmosphere. PFL have been there with Dumbe already. He walked to the smart cage carrying a fucking mattress that said Bon Nuit on it. I mean, it's just mental, absolutely mental. And this week, Thursday night, Cedric Dumbe is back in action. And it's lightweights and welterweight tournament as well for the PFL that gets underway too. This week, Dumbe has been driving around Paris in an ambulance with a picture of his opponent, Shamadusinov. Yeah, just whacking his face on the side of this, causing absolute mayhem. He has McGregor vibes about him, mate. I know it's French speaking, and maybe people don't necessarily resonate with it if you're not hearing his language and understanding him. But it's just got that thing about it. It's got this really crazy wave of momentum, and the PFL have got themselves a star. Keep sticking him on in Paris, mate, because he's going to keep selling tickets, and people are going to keep wanting to see this, the rise of Cedric Dumbe in MMA.
As you say, this is kicking off PFL's European tournament events for 2024. This is Europe number one. And over the course of the year, they'll have various tournaments where you can win a big cash prize, six-figure cash prize, but also secure your place in next year's international tournament, PFL tournament format. We absolutely love it. And there's guys on here who have had, you know, 20 fights and stuff like that, but who are part of the tournament. But the main event is 5-0 Cedric Dumbe for a reason, and that's because he's an absolute gigantic superstar in France, especially in Paris. The reason is because he's had an extensive Glory kickboxing career. He was the Glory welterweight champion for an awful long time. He was the two-time fight of the year in Glory. The guy was a sensational kickboxer, and he's transitioned over to MMA. He's been faultless so far, but as you say, it's more than just the fighting. It's what he brings. He is a showman, no end. This event sold out in seconds, literally when he had that graphic put out with the big cape coming down from the Arc de Triomphe with his face all over it. People went mental for it. It goes absolutely viral. This week, the ambulance. He's also paid for and reserved a room at the hospital for Baisangor to stay in after the fight. Like, he's gone all in again. He's gone all in. But I tell you what, Adam, no one's going to be talking about his opponents because Dumbe is such a superstar. I'm telling you now, I've got little voices in serious places in French MMA. A lot of people don't know that. But Baisangor is a real dude. This guy can fight. He too is undefeated. Yes, he's only 7-0, but that's because Dumbe, well, in French MMA, the law is it's a brand new established sport in France. But if you're a 10-fight novice, you have to fight another 10-fight novice, which is why Dumbe couldn't fight in the UFC, if you remember. He was only a 3-fight novice, and UFC tried to match him up with someone who'd had more than 10 fights. The French Federation said, no, we're not allowing that. And that's why he didn't fight on the UFC card. And then his brain scan came out and he didn't get signed and all that other stuff. But you've got a 7-fight novice against a 5-fight novice here. Dumbe's got the kickbox in the background. But Baisangor can fight, mate. Can fight. I've had more than one people message me saying, Dumbe's getting beat this weekend. This kid's no joke. You know, Chechen, based out of France, trains at the same gym as, Cyril Gane, the same gym that produced Francis Ngannou from day one. MMA Factory. Like, this guy is no joke, and Dumbe is up against it. And don't be surprised if this guy slips a shot from Dumbe, slams him on the canvas, and starts beating him up on the ground. I've been told it's a fight, man. I've been told it's a real fight.
Kane Musa Conor Hughes from the UK, they're involved in the tournament bracket that Nick was alluding to a moment or two ago. Welterweights and lightweights, both of those in lightweight. Kane's one of those fighters that have been around for time. It's always action. I know that he had a little bit of a flirt with the PFL last year and it didn't necessarily go his way in some of the fights, but he's super entertaining. He's Kane Musa. So make sure you're checking him out. Loads of French talent, loads of European talent on this as well. I think it's a... Is it a 20-fight card? It's fucking mad, mate, the amount of fights that are actually on this. I think it's going to have to start at 2 in the afternoon, isn't it, to get this completed by the time we get to Dumbe. But that's on Thursday. So check that out Thursday.
Conor Hughes is definitely worth looking out for. He's a talented fighter, man. He trains with Jason Tan in Liverpool. He's a scouter, of course, so I'm going to give him a little extra shout-out. But he bounced back. He lost his first one with the PFL last year. But he bounced back in style at the end of the year with another win. But a very talented fighter, got a lot of experience, a lot of amateur experience as well. And against a tough German, who on paper, the German's got a lot more experience, has got a lot of big wins. But actually, when you look, the German hasn't been very active of late. He's only had about 3 fights in the last 4 or 5 years. So I fancy Conor to come through that. Hopefully, if Kane comes through as well, we could get a little bit of M62 Liverpool versus Manchester, violence on violence in that tournament. Big fan of that. And also a shout out in the co-main event, Jack Grant, who's taking on Abdul Abragumimov. Butchered that, but sorry, Abdul.
It's not in the tournament, that, is it? That's not in the tournament.
No, that's a 3-5s, like the main event. That's a 3-5s co-main event outside the tournament. A welterweight fight. Obviously, the Frenchman, massive talent, only lost 1 in about 18 fights. But Jack's no joke. Jack's never been in a bad fight himself. He's incredibly talented. I seen last year he had the year before, he fought John Hathaway in a grappling tournament. I caught the end of that. Beat John Hathaway, a very talented fighter, former UFC guy. When you look at his losses, his losses are Jai Herbert, Ian Garry, you know, Jack McGann, who weirdly fights on
fighting
Friday
in
night
Saudi,
in Saudi Arabia. Now he's a boxer, but, you know, he's losing to top British, domestic Irish opposition, Jack Grant. So it's a real test for the Frenchman, and hopefully Jack Grant can get it done, man.
It's going to be good, man. It's going to be good. So check that out Thursday. That'll whet your appetite for everything that you want to see in Saudi Arabia on Friday. And then just buckle up, buttercup. Because this is just a joke. $2.99 is an absolute freak show of violence. The Miami crowd always come out. They always deliver. And I'm sure they will give that extra 5-10% to the fighters that are competing this weekend. I've changed my mind 3 times during the show about Benoit Saint-Denis and Dustin Poirier. I've made my pick now. Yeah. I'm going all in. I'm all in on the diamond. Come on, son.
Yeah,
but I wouldn't be surprised.
Get your hot sauce out.
Where is it?
We got it here. Come on, Dustin. Do the business, sunshine. Let's get it on. Poirier's hot sauce. But as well as that, even though I absolutely love Dustin Poirier, you kind of want somebody else to rise from the pot. Yeah. And if the God of War can rise from the pot, then Jesus, you all better watch out, because he'll be targeting that Justin Gaethje fight or summit, mate. Straight.
He'll be targeting Abu Dhabi, Islam, October. That's what he'll be thinking about. Get me one more after this and then get me to Abu Dhabi in October. I'll bring the French Legion over. Oh, massive. Massive.
There you go. Sandwiched in the middle of all our AJ and Garnu stuff this week is your MMA preview for the week coming up. It's going to be a cracker. It's a great week for fight sports. If you're across everything, if you love your boxing and you love your MMA, you must be in like a pig in shit this week. It's just amazing. Thank you very much for tuning into us. Please subscribe. We do have audio feeds galore for you. They're on our website, fightdisciples.com. So if you just want to listen to us, you can. Spotify, we're on there. We're on Google Play. We're on Apple. We're everywhere. So you can just hit the button and therefore you never miss out. Do us a favor on the video. If you're watching this on YouTube, please hit the thumbs up. So when it says like, dislike, don't hit dislike. Don't be a cock, right? Just hit the like button, because it helps the algorithm and it'll send it to more people. So therefore, they'll obviously, hopefully, come back and watch some of our stuff, and therefore we'll get more followers. And as well as that, you can interact with us by the comment section. Let us know how you think the fight's going to play out. It'll be interesting to get your five picks for the main card. Obviously, you've seen us. Drop it in the comment section. Let us know who your five picks are for the main card. Don't have to give us methods or anything like that. Just tell us who the fighters will be with their hand raised at the end of the contest. All set to be absolutely fantastic. And as you can see, there is a red little button. Which side am I pointing? Yeah, that side there. Just in the corner there. Press that. It'll bring it up. Hit the subscribe button for our YouTube. And then you'll never miss out on any of our content. We'll be back later on, 8 o'clock, live for the third part of our AJ Ngannou fight week. So make sure you come and join us for that. Thank you very much. We'll catch you next time.
Thank you for listening. If you like what you heard, subscribe via iTunes.